let's stand, and as we begin to celebrate this morning, I want to read to you a passage of scripture which describes our coach, our trainer, the imagery we've been using in this series, our leader, our forgiver, our creator, our sustainer. And listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he comes to the end of this massive doctrinal download in Romans, just before he moves into kind of very applicable things, practical things. And he says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And you brought your amen, or that's good. So I just wanted to know that was. "And to him be glory forever and ever." Amen. There we go. Very good. Okay, now. So you'll see this, the beginning and the end, this PowerPoint that's up behind me here. And when it comes to issues of celebration, morning, Jamie. When it comes to issues of celebration, we often will celebrate the beginning, right? The beginning of life. And we're going to do that this morning. And think about it. Sometimes, a lot of times, we celebrate the end of life. Not like, oh, good to get rid of that person. We realize that sometimes when a life ends, it's catastrophic, it's full of grief. But in a lot of cases, funerals I've been to, memorials, there's a lot of celebration, a life well lived. There's grief, but there's celebration. So these are two points of celebration. And then you think about all that happens in between, right? That line, all the stuff that unfolds, like there are stories and people and friends and family and wins and losses and adventure and joy and disappointment and growth and change and surprises and setbacks and huge advances and mystery and pain and learnings. And there's a whole pile of stuff, right? Well, this morning, the text, the basis of our service, or the text that we want to kind of ground things in this morning, is found in Philippians chapter 1. If you have a Bible, verse 3 to 11. And you'll note here where Paul, this is Paul writing, and his ministry partner is Timothy, and he talks about a beginning, and he talks about the end. It's a little bit different. And so I'm going to read this to you. I put it up on the screen this morning. We don't always do that, but I thought, well, we're celebrating, so let's do that. So there it is. And this is what Paul writes. "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now just pause there for a second. What do you note? Beginning and an end, right? Now let's read on. "It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So there's a different beginning and a different end, right? If you look at that verse 7, but you don't need to go back there if you have your Bibles, or you can go to the next slide, which just illustrates the beginning and the end. Paul is talking about a beginning when he says, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And so the beginning that he's talking about is not your physical birth, obviously. There's a beginning point for all of us, but he's talking about another beginning point that many people experience, not everybody experiences. It's when someone crosses the line of faith. It's when someone puts their faith in Jesus as their leader and as their forgiver. And so you'll remember the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He had a big wake-up call, and that was the beginning of his relationship with Christ. And then Timothy, who was his ministry partner, who he references in the beginning of this letter, he writes this to Timothy, Timothy in a letter in 2 Timothy. He says, "How from childhood, Timothy, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ." And I love the progression of thought in that text, where he says to Timothy, you know, you were acquainted with the sacred writings. In other words, you had knowledge, but that knowledge led you to faith, which is really informed trust, informed by the scriptures, coming to the conclusion, and this is Old Testament now, remember, coming to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, and an informed trust says, I will now trust Jesus for my salvation. So there's a wonderful progression of thought there. You were acquainted, but now you have experienced salvation, or literally deliverance, and now Jesus is your Savior, God is your Father, and there's been a radical, radical shift. So that's the beginning that Paul is talking about, and then he's talking about the end. He'll finish the work when? When Jesus Christ returns. He's speaking about the return of Christ, which is really another strange kind of ending, right? It's like, wow, there's a lot of mystery in that. When Jesus Christ, when he comes back and he takes us up to be his own. So there's this radical, radical change that for all those who have died in Christ and those who are living and have put their trust in Christ, when Jesus returns, we'll experience a completion of the work. But notice in that verse, you know, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, beginning and an end. But there's also very clear that it's Jesus that's doing the work. I started this thing, and I'm going to finish this thing. And lots of us are trusting in that verse for people we pray for, right? God began it, he'll finish it, and we're trusting him for that. But there's something else you need to note about the beginning and the end that Paul talks about here, if you read the context. Oftentimes we look at the beginning and the end and the story in between and we go, that's my story, that's my relationship with Jesus. And well, that individuality is part of it. If you read the context, it's not about your journey. It's about our journey together. It's about partnership. And if you look at verse 5 and verse 6, the you, of course, is plural. He who began a good work in you. And Paul uses the word partnership and all participating in the grace of God. And so there's this corporate identity of us moving together that God's doing something in me, yeah, but he's doing something in we, yeah. And he works through the body of Christ to help us come to that beginning point in Christ, move from that beginning point in Christ, grow in maturity. But community is a huge part, connecting at a deep level. And so this morning, we're going to take some time to celebrate what God is doing in us between the beginning and the end. And so I want us to read this next slide together. This is our key verse this morning. Let's read together. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work. So there's a number of ways that we're going to celebrate what God is doing amongst us. And I'm going to invite Amanda up now to help you celebrate.
Okay, the pressure. To hear. So we're going to end with an open-ended question. You get to type your answer in. Give you a minute or two to think, and it's going to come live time as you type in your answers. How has being part of a church impacted your life? So you'll see a bubble come up on your screen. You can actually type this in, and the answers will just come up, and you can read them. I'll read some of them. I won't read all of them. Apparently, so greatly grounding. You don't need to use one word, I don't think. I think you could actually type in more. So it's given a sense of meaning. It's kept me focused on Christ. It's been life-changing, love-drenched accountability, friends feeling closer to God, become a pillar in my life, comfort, belonging, shape me into a follower of God that I am today, strengthen relationship with Jesus. It's a place of comfort, relief, more intentional in my walk, allowed me to use my gift and appreciate others, focused on Christ, made me more intentional, given me a safe place where I can learn about my faith and grow my faith, provided connection and community, spiritual growth and networking, support through trials. Churches create accountability and keep fighting the good fight. A constant sense of community. Help me to understand I'm part of a bigger community. Forces me to wake up on Sunday morning. Thank you for the honesty. lowers my anxiety, helped me to stay connected to Christ and grow spiritually, saved my life, found belonging to go and celebrate with other believers, brought me closer in my marriage, changed my values and worldviews, transformational teaching, wonderful Christian friends, improved my walk with Christ, given me a purpose of life and a sense of need for God, developed fruits of the Spirit, growth and kept me grounded, remained focused on leading my life according to the Word of God, made me feel connected, helped me to grow into the person I was and made to be. So these answers are just going to keep coming up. These are your answers. People are telling you what they think this church does for you. And so I think that's pretty amazing that we get to be part of a community, a group of people that are encouraged as they sit here and encouraging each other. I know I'm very encouraged as I'm just seeing your answers come up, even if it means just getting out of bed on a Sunday morning. So as we end, we're actually just going to read that God has been doing a good work in us, and we just want to celebrate that by reading that verse that Mark began with. And so Eric's just going to bring it up, and let's read this out together. God's doing something in all of us, Bethel, and we want to celebrate that. So let's read this together. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
amen. Well, we are coming to the end, but there's a couple other things we are going to do. As you think about the beginning and the end, the beginning and the end, what has happened for many of us in our journey is when a person becomes familiar with the sacred writings, we think of the language that Paul used with Timothy, and then they come to a point of salvation, informed trust, faith, putting my faith in Jesus, informed trust by what the Word of God says about Jesus and my possible relationship with him. We know that biblically the model of getting baptized was part of that, right? Where someone who comes to faith in Christ would literally be immersed underneath water, come back up, symbolizing my surrender and my new life in Christ. And the really, really cool thing about baptism is we often just think of baptism as what I'm saying to Jesus, but it's more than that in the New Testament. It was a declaration of allegiance here, but it was a declaration of allegiance here too. It was really a statement that said, you know, I've begun with Jesus and I can't get to the end without you guys. It was a declaration of koinonia, of partnership, of family. And so this morning, we are going to hear of a testimony, just one testimony. In the second service, they will see her baptized. And so we want you just to celebrate what God's done in Elisa's heart. And we're going to watch this video. Then I'll come back, give a bit more instructions, and then we'll celebrate through music and worship. So watch the video.
Hi. My name is Elisa Fanuta, and I'm a PhD candidate studying at Queen's University in the Department of the School of Kinesiology and Health Studies. I've been in Kingston since 2013, and I've been attending Bethel since 2014. As someone who has a big role in health and wellness and sport high performance, I've really appreciated the current CrossFit sermon series that's provided both theoretical and practical application to practicing spiritual disciplines. Growing up for me, Sundays were always a special day of the week, dedicated to faith and family. My family and I would go to Mass every Sunday and then go to my nonna's house right after for lunch, nonna being Italian for grandmother. My Catholic upbringing and formal education right through to grade 12 taught me the importance of doing the right thing for the greater good and living a service-oriented life. Picking a university, I decided to go to McMaster University in Hamilton. And this would mark the first time I would be living away from home. This was quite the adjustment initially, because when you move away from home for the first time, you're deciding for yourself how you're going to spend your time and who you're going to allow to speak into your life. If I had to describe my spiritual walk during these years, it would be one of spiritual drought. I wasn't connected to a church community throughout my undergrad, and I spent most of my time instead working hard at building my identity around being a student athlete with the hopes of pursuing a career in medicine. If I had to visually depict this, these different aspects of my identity, the best way I can think of is from the personality islands from the movie Inside Out. So the islands for me would be things like academics, athletics, family, and the pursuit of excellence. At various points throughout my undergrad years, these different islands, if you will, were challenged in different ways by things like struggling academically, getting cut from the varsity soccer team, dealing with injuries and fighting for playing time once I made the team, not being able to get into med school, and coming to terms with the suffering and death of loved ones. In the background throughout this entire time, I was also wrestling with how to reconcile my scientific pursuits with my Christian faith. The shift for me really happened in my graduate studies while I was still in McMaster, when I met two PhD students named Paul and Jesse. I highly respected these two individuals for where they were academically and athletically. They were both PhD students and highly competitive athletes, Paul in baseball and Jesse in basketball. God really cornered me for those 2 years of my master's because we shared an office space together. And what struck me different about these two individuals was their openness about their faith. They would oftentimes invite me with them to join them for church on Sundays, which initially I went just because I wanted to be their friend, but God had bigger plans for me. One of the first times I went with them to church, I remember the pastor in his sermon saying how it was important to ask questions and that it was okay and even healthy to have doubts in your faith journey. That was really pivotal for me, and pursuing those questions I did, particularly once I got here to Kingston. Through a series of unexpected opportunities and people in my path, I ended up finding my way here to Bethel in 2014, around the same time that Pastor Amanda started working at the church. I still remember the first Sunday I came here all by myself and sitting in one of the back pews, and Amanda was up at the front introducing herself and encouraging the congregation to fill out one of these Connect cards if you were interested in meeting up. Amanda seemed really approachable, and so I took the chance. I filled out the card, I dropped it in the offering plate, and shortly after we set up a time to meet up for coffee on campus. I still remember that day like it was yesterday, where after a few brief introductions, shortly afterwards, I just spilled all of the questions I had wrestling in my head. Some including, how can we trust the reliability of Scripture? And is there historical evidence for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? You know, the typical icebreaker type questions. Amanda, seeing my critical thinking personality and given my Catholic upbringing, shortly afterwards connected me with her colleague Carmen, who introduced me to the field of apologetics, and well, the rest is history. Fast forward a few years later, and God has totally parted waters and given me an opportunity to serve in a way I never could have imagined. I'm pleased to announce that in January 2020, I will be joining the faculty at Trinity Western University in the Department of Human Kinetics. So I'll be moving to Langley, British Columbia within the next couple of weeks. Since I'll be working for a Christian university, a huge part of my job responsibility is prioritizing the holistic development of my students and helping them to see how they can integrate their academic pursuits with their Christian faith. Essentially, helping them ensure that they're CrossFit for their own respective journeys. On this day of celebration, I just want to thank God for his continued faithfulness and this community for reminding me that there was a plan for me even in this season when it was hard for me to see it at times. I'm truly humbled to even the church extended family, so ministries like Geneva House and Athletes in Action, for really investing in me and helping equip me for this next step in my journey and to be able to fully embrace who God's created me to be in this next chapter of my life. Today I'm participating in Believer's Baptism as a means of renewing my faith and publicly declaring Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The Gospels depict Jesus getting baptized before he publicly started his ministry. And so I felt that it was also fitting for me to do the same before I begin my career and head off to BC. I think God has me in for quite the adventure.
So isn't that wonderful? What a great story. Our prayer is that we would see hundreds of more stories like that, right? Hundreds of more stories. Let's stand. We're going to conclude with our...